Alright guys, it's time for another edition of Ring Rust Retro, so please, hit that music.
I dedicate this to the throwbacks, like Cena's shirt in 06, ECW, one night stand, and I won't hold back, like take the Rem Batista battle in the backlash, 07 to one man stand, we'll bring it back to the days of Lord Alfred Hayes, Hall and Nash and Zane, Hollywood drops the lay, they say the days of old are the best though, that's why we bring to you Ring Rust Retro, let's go.
Oh my god, I am so excited. Mike Carey Brady, you don't seem as excited as I am, but we are finally getting the chance to cover one of the most well-known pay-per-views of all time. It lives in
infamy. I've never heard of this.
I heard of it.
I've heard of it my whole wrestling life because this was just like always regarded as the worst event that ever took place. It's Heroes of Wrestling 1999. It was the guys who weren't in WCW. It's the guys who weren't in WWF. But who
they're old as fuck.
Yeah, or not good enough to be in those companies. So they're like, we could still do it. It's basically all the guys from the territory days that you remember, that you loved at one point, and here they are. Our buddy George Cruz. He doesn't like us. I don't care what he does. I know for a fact he doesn't like us when he makes us do this kind of stuff. But he's like, I want you guys to watch Heroes of Wrestling. We found the link. We got it. We paid Jake the Snake Roberts the money we had owed him to watch this, and we found it. And it was incredible, I'll say, if one word is applicable, incredibly. Do you guys agree? What were your thoughts going into this? So you never
it's
saw
incredible
this
that it occurred.
In? So real quick, BG, so you never – did you hear of this heading into this?
Only from when you guys said we have to do this.
I heard of it many a times and never watched
I don't remember
it
hearing about
now.
This.
Okay, so did you look at the card before you got into it? BG?
I don't think I did.
You wanted to be surprised.
I think as it was happening, I was like, let me see how long this shit's going to be. Like
okay.
Each match.
So
like,
when
right,
you, when you saw when you saw the people on the card, were you like, oh, that seems pretty cool. Like, it seems like a bunch
of
names.
Yeah, I was like, how bad could it be in 1999? Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's exactly what you wanted. Because what we got was
but
a...
But to be fair, I was never really a fan of almost, besides Jake the Snake, not really a fan of almost anyone on the
show. Because these were territory
guys.
Let
me say this. In 1989, or probably more like 1985, this car would have been fucking banging.
That's okay. You saying banging makes me feel uncomfortable.
Bad.
Real.
You're like, banging, huh?
Banging.
It's fucking lit up in here, right?
Bitching and banging.
Okay, but seriously, you're right. If this was done in the territory, like I said, this is a territory pay-per-view. These are the guys who were, like, I'm watching WCCW. I'm in 83 at this point. A lot of these guys, that's the time. That's the time they thrive. We get to watch this on VHS quality feed. October 10th.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but it's October 10th,
1999.
We had DVDs at the fucking time of this thing, and I'm watching this on fucking 1991 fucking VHS quality.
No, you're wrong there. DVDs were very expensive.
They existed, and the quality was much
better.
Most
people's first DVD player wasn't even until like the PlayStation 2.
Which
That's
was
like 2001.
2001, 2 years
right,
after
2000,
this.
2000 or 2001.
Oh my god,
when the PS2 came out.
Where did this take place? I forget what the name
this
of
this was Bay St. Louis, Mississippi at the Casino Magic, the Mecca.
Yes, it's Biloxi. It's beautiful Biloxi.
No,
also,
it's not Biloxi. It's Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Biloxi.
As we'll get to, fucking mini IRS called it Biloxi and people got so mad.
Okay. Hurricane jokes. The city,
off the top!
The city had just underwent, like, the recovery efforts from a massive hurricane that hit the area, and we're just making fucking hurricane jokes right off the top. This play-by-play guy was the last-second replacement for Gordon Sully, the legend himself, and he fucking never called wrestling before. He was literally plucked from doing boxing at the same place where this took place to do this show without knowing most of the guys or any of the moves.
And it showed.
And it showed big time.
Yeah, it was
this, awesome. They literally said, Heroes of Wrestling equals Hurricane Camille. Pretty much.
Yep.
And it's not wrong. They ain't wrong.
Knowing what I know now, it really did leave a fucking path of destruction through the wrestling industry for years to come. Wife beaters as far as the eye can see in the Biloxi crowd. It is unbelievable, dude.
Damn.
I mean, I meant the shirts, but some of them were probably legitimate wife beaters as well, I would assume.
That's not good. Don't do that.
I mean, definitely don't do it. Domestic violence is a fucking very real thing.
Don't do whatever.
But fucking the wife beater, wife beating undershirts, BG, that I know you're wearing right now as we speak, because that's what you wear all the time, as far as the eye could see, it was disgusting.
I got some thoughts here before we start. First, really weird way to start the show, King Kong Bundy's just yelling.
King Kong Bundy and Yokozuna shoving each other.
I like that.
That was the pre-show.
I thought fucking King Kong Bundy, it literally was the pre-show.
And then there was a video prominently featuring tiny tube TVs right before the start of it.
That is true. They were expensive as fuck too back then.
Formerly, the Bushwhackers are my favorites.
Formerly Yokozuna as well.
Yes, yeah. That's what we'll go on. I wrote here, Don, you asked what my thoughts were about the car. I said, this car is insane because they're running through the car in the opening. I'm like, holy shit, this is probably going to be a good show.
I said, on paper, card is stacked, and I would have been, and it would have been awesome in 1999 if I was there.
So pumped for Two Cold Scorpo, as Randy Rosenblum calls him.
I saw his long dick in person. I'll never forget.
Oh. Nice. That's true. You never seen a long dick?
He did. He had it in his shorts, but he was wearing his fucking trunks, and he was I guess he was chubbed up or something, but awesome. Unless he's just naturally huge like that.
He pulled a Cedric Alexander every fucking match and rubbed it up against the top rope.
Hey. So the ring announcer says, and I quote, throw down your toys and get out of the sandbox. Playtime's over because tonight somebody's going to get their ass whooped tonight in here.
Somebody's going to get their ass whooped.
I love that. Honestly, I would like. I miss old petition. Ring announcers like that.
Yeah, I like the form of petition right now. That should be our new show intro.
We
should just hire Buffer to come in just once. So just like WCW for pay-per-views, they just paid him all the money in the world to come in.
They paid him $9 billion a year to
do main event. He didn't call the whole show, just the main event he called.
Yep.
He's like, Hulk Hogan's like, listen, brother, I need a guy worthy of calling my shit. no. I want Michael Buffer. I like him. The first match of the night, the Samoan SWAT team defeated Marty Jannetty and Tommy Rogers. Tommy Rogers was one half of the Fantastics. Marty Jannetty, one half of the Rockers, the better half of the Rockers.
The better rocker. Mr. WrestleMania.
And the Samoan SWAT team sans, Rikishi, because Rikishi was busy.
They called him Fatu. That ain't Fatu.
No, it was not Fatu. We're just making up names at this point. Samoan SWAT team was huge in WCCW. I've been watching a lot of that. They were a huge part of that company. Marty Jannetty over here being the better rocker, and I hated the Fantastics always, so Tommy Rogers.
Marty Jannetty putting in work in this match like he was auditioning for WCW.
He had to. He really had to here.
Worst rocker deserved to be on the show.
This show
got screwed.
They put Shawn Michaels' legs in his promo pic to try to make him fucking relevant.
This show really feels like a territory from the early to mid-80s. You said it earlier, but this is where it starts to hit that you're like, oh, shit, this is like the 80s guys coming back for a little thing here. Dutch Mantel on commentary with the guy who has no fucking clue, and Dutch Mantel not helping him at all by burying him constantly and auditioning his We the People gimmick early.
There was, in this match, they didn't do it for the rest of the card, though. There was a guy whose job was to make sure the thing that had the Casino Medic's phone number on it didn't fall out of the ring.
Oh, my God.
But then it did, and he gave up.
He gave up. Nobody
right
was trying.
On the ring
this
apron.
Won't work. This won't work.
Nobody.
Right on the ring apron. It was so weird.
Nobody was trying in this entire fucking show. No. Not one person.
I like using a chair and going to the outside in a meaningless tag match to open the show.
Honestly,
going all over for no reason.
It's not meaningless to any one of these guys. It's the last chance they have to be a star. Don't you fucking forget it. Because Mr. WrestleMania, the real Mr. WrestleMania, Marty Jannetty, is out here stealing the show.
He's putting in work, like I said.
Yeah, he's got holy moves, dude. He's fucking.
He was doing so many awesome leg kicks and slam takedowns in this match.
He's way better than Shawn Michaels. I'm just
saying, called,
dude.
This dude called drop kicks leg kicks. every kick is a leg kick. You're losing your legs.
Dude, he was incredible during this.
Phenomenal.
He had no idea. There was a suplex at one point, and he's like, my God, that bear hug looked like it hurts. I was like, what? What?
Maybe if you don't know the moves, you just shouldn't call him, like Michael Cole.
And he just goes, oh, that looks like it hurt.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, someone said strategical, and I got all excited because
Satigiri.
They were like 5 years early on that, but it was fucking awesome. And also, we get an advertisement for ScoopsWrestling.com.
Oh my god.
Which was Davey M's side project in 1999. Oh, ScoopWrestling.com, doing all the scoops all again.
My favorite part in this match was when Rosenbloom said it was obscene and unethical for fake Fatu to use a chair.
When you just, that was his name, Rosenbloom?
I agree.
Yeah.
I just said it in my head, Rosen whom? That's what I said when I found out. I was like, who are you talking about? Next match is Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Wait. Before that, George Animal Steel, Sherry Martel arrive.
Sensuous Sherry, as she's called here.
Yeah, well, he starts to strip her down out of nowhere as they cut away. I was like, that is not cool.
That banging as a storyline is
fantastic. It was.
I approve of that.
George Steele, like, he's just an animal. He just doesn't know what he's doing. He's just smelling around. He's like...
Ooh, yeah. Zeb told Rosenbloom that he probably lurks in people's bedrooms, basically.
Like a serial killer. He's the original Golden State Killer. But yeah, Sherry Martel was legit in this. She was always so fucking awesome. She was arguably one of the greatest fucking managers of all time. No matter who she was with, she helped the story. She knew her role with what she was doing at all times, and she furthered every story in the ring. She really was awesome every time. George Animal Steel, little known fact, we didn't get a chance to interview him here, but I worked behind the scenes to get an interview. He would not do it, but he was sweet as fuck. He really was such a nice guy. I got to email him, and he sent me the book that he wrote at the time, and we actually spoke about him being suicidal towards the end because he didn't really, like, know what his life was going to do, and he was getting sick, and a member of his family was sick, and we spoke about that, and he actually went and got help, and he said, I'm doing so much better, Donnie, like, so good to talk to you. So he was a very nice man. Behind the scenes, and he really was one of the good guys in wrestling. Nobody talks shit about George Animal Steel because he was a good guy. Here, he's a bit old, and this match is not good.
Well, before the match, Valentine's cutting the promo, so Steel's going to lay down and die in the pre-match promo. I'm like, holy shit, take it easy.
Lay down and die.
Greg Valentine's new shirt, I killed George Steel. I broke George Steele's heart.
He also wanted to bang Sherry. So.
Well, we'll get to there. Watching this was like watching my dad's friends. The ones who drink and drive! Remember that Smarks comment?
Yeah.
Because it's real
sure
here.
Do.
It's real here. Greg Valentine's looks like one of my dad's old friends who got a bunch of DUIs. That's real life. Greg Valentine and, what's his name? Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
The dream team.
They're the ones who hang out now, like, when they're old. Did you see the picture of that? They're rolling a joint in, like, Florida, and they're smoking weed together to, like,
well,
use their
pain.
Well,
they were a tag team.
Yeah. They're really good friends, apparently, behind the scenes, so. Greg Valentine is the replacement for Hulk Hogan for fucking Brutus Beefcake. Holy sexist commentators being monsters to fucking Sensational Sherry here, just saying awful things about Sherry. I know it's 99, but come on, dude. Come on, Dutch. Be better than this.
she randomly just started beating up George Animal Steel in the very beginning of the match in the most anticlimactic heel turn ever, and Animal did not realize this was happening because he had a shirt over his eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the gimmick of it.
Technique.
Well, that was the gimmick of it, because then when the shirt came down, he was all cool again. I just saw a hilarious gif of Lex Luger. Did I show this to you, BG? It's Lex Luger and Sting walking down the aisle, and Lex Luger's in the midst of a heel turn on Sting. So he's walking down the middle of the aisle, and he won't high-five anybody until Sting turns around. He puts a big smile on, starts high-fiving. Sting turns back around. He fucking gets a dirty look and stops high-fiving people. It's fucking awesome. It really is awesome. It's the same thing with this. Sherry's attacking with the shirt. As soon as the shirt comes down, she's helping him. She's telling a good story. No matter what the action in the ring reflects, the story was actually good. So
I would not call that a good story.
Oh, Sherry turns on him, and then fucking, how could you, Sherry? How could you fucking hurt George Animal Steel like this?
My favorite was the low speed chase to the back after the match. They're, like, walking. George Steele is walking after Greg Valentine.
George the Animal Steele was pissed off because he was promised those WrestleMania carts, and he did not get one. He did not get
one. He didn't even eat the turnbuckle. He just broke it open.
He did, yeah. He didn't even eat it. I was very disappointed. I was like, that's what you're here for, dude. Where's your green tongue? I didn't see the green tongue once. In the next match, we have Too Cold Scorpio defeated Julio Fantastico. Fantastico's promo before the match got me fucking boy moist.
One of the most charismatic superstars I've ever seen.
He is. This is the guy. This is where I realized. I'm sure I wrote it somewhere. I gotta find it. But this is where one of the spots where I realized this is Hardcore Reunion or one of those shows I went to, Extreme Rising.
Uh-huh.
One of those ones.
Right. Do you remember who this is?
What?
Do you know who this is?
Who?
Julio
Fantastico?
Who it was. It's no. Julio De Niro, who this promo was the most generic cliche wrestling promo of all time. But those who don't know who Julio De Niro was, he was in ECW in the early days of TNA, Raven, CM Punk, and Alexis Lorraine, who was Mickey James.
Yes. So that is, I did not know that. I didn't even look it up. I didn't recognize him.
You know what I do
know?
Yeah,
I remember it instantly.
He's the reason you're here, and he's the reason you cheer. That's what I know.
Oh, that's actually not a bad promo. I like that part. You delivered it better than he did. So yeah. It's like
Julio was the fucking standout star of Heroes of Wrestling.
Well, he was. I think it got him the deal with ECW.
Well, that's the thing is.
I think he went from this to ECW.
With Extreme Rising, what they were doing is they're bringing all the old ECW guys in, then bringing a bunch of local indie guys in. To wrestle them, and then the old guys are putting over the young guys with the intent of building a new company to move forward with, and never got off the fucking ground. But that was the intent of it, and that's what they're doing.
Except Julio Fantastico is the only one there. Then
that's the problem because he's the only one. He's
yeah,
really
everybody
champion.
Else is old, and then there's fucking Julio Fantastico. Yeah.
And Two Gold Scorpio was awesome. Two Gold Scorpio was awesome. Then he was awesome before this. He had a huge dick, and that's real. I went to an ECW show, and he was doing flips and shit. And he was on top ropes, and his package was huge, dude. It was like a fucking Austin Aries size package.
I don't call him Flash Funk for nothing.
Yeah, he's funking some motherfuckers out there, dude.
As Julio's going to the ring, I learned Julio loves the ladies. That's what I was told by Rosenbloom. I wasn't sure if it was Too Cold Scorpio or Rick James in this match.
So speaking of okay, that's not very nice. Speaking of ECW, the camera guy kept turning the camera on an angle like ECW used to do. You remember that?
Yeah.
And be like, whoa, it's extreme. And it was just like, at this point, don't forget, we were also like, 4 years into getting televised ECW at this point. So they're copying everybody. They're copying ECW. They're copying WWF. They're copying WCW. Everybody, man. Everybody.
I like to believe that Captain Lou just wandered onto commentary without telling anyone.
I honestly think he did.
He was
awesome.
He was fucking hammered. Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy is here. King Kong Bundy is actually a good promo.
I'm not done with this match yet.
We have a lot before that.
It stole the show. It was the best match.
I have nothing. I didn't have anything else to complain about.
At one point, Dutch Mantel says, and I quote, "You know, this match is going to be pretty good." And then Randy Rosenbloom has to say, "No, it's excellent."
At one point, there was a drop kick that Randy Rosenbloom called a leg drop.
He's so bad.
Drop leg.
The one thing about this match, though, Two Gold Scorpio totally missed his finisher at the end. Didn't even hit him at all.
He did. Yeah. So, you know what? Fitting. Fitting to what all this was. And King Kong Bundy cuts a promo, and this is where we start to see the wheels. Looking back, the wheels are starting to come off. They're starting to have to rewrite because they know there's issues. And they're starting to cut different promos, and they're starting to say things, and he's cutting it.
They're really hedging their bets here.
Bundy cut the promo on Yokozuna, but he's also mentioning Jake the Snake here. Yeah. And it's like, why is he, what is this? Yeah.
He was really catching a major, they knew Jake the Snake was catching a major buzz at this point, and they were afraid of what would happen.
Exactly. They're planting the seeds for potential changes here, and you can start to see it.
Michael St. John said Bohemoths.
He did. He's like.
That was the name of the interview, by the way, Michael St. John.
My God, I like his sister. What was the porn lady's name? St. Clair. What was the one? Who was
Jasmine
in ECW? Jasmine
from ECW.
Yes, ECW.
I like how his mic never worked for the first 10 seconds of every interview.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There's some trouble. There's some issues here. As somebody who's watching a ton of WCCW, King Kong Bundy debuted at 19 years old. He grew up in this fucking business, and he was actually a good talker. He doesn't get enough credit. He's a really good heel. The Bushwhackers defeated the Iron Sheik and Nikolai...
No, formerly the Bushwhackers.
Nikolai Volkov. Sheiky Baby was such a heel. Don't chant USA, I fucking did, bro. He's the fucking... He's just being, like, 80s heel here.
I love that they were managed by M. Bison. That was awesome.
Again, it was... Hold on. You said there was nobody else in the card. They're trying to get over two people. Julio Fantastico and the fucking... the guy who came to the ring with them here.
M. Bison.
M. Bison. It wasn't M. Bison. It was... this fucking...
It was
blue,
Stalin.
No one cared about the fact that their fucking four Legend of Wrestling were killing it inside.
They were not killing it.
They were killing it inside the ring.
Volkov had a beautiful singing voice and Sheik, an incredible Iranian club demonstration. And then did you hear him roll Hogan and Backlund for no apparent reason?
He hates them. He hates everybody, dude. USA chants for the sheep herders from New Zealand is literally my favorite part of this entire fucking thing. The people in Biloxi are like, USA, we hate Iraq! And it's like, the Bushwhackers are from New Zealand, dude, they ain't from America. USA! USA! And then fucking, the Bushwhackers are like, sure, sure, like fucking right, whatever. We'll take it. Russia sucks chants, like it's 2018 up in here. They're impacting elections like it's a motherfucker. And then we get the worst referee in history here. He is, I don't know what the deal is, but it's like he had a stroke in the ring and couldn't figure out what was happening anymore. He was, although, BG, I sent you the ref today. Bronco Lubitsch could be my least favorite referee I've ever seen in my life. He is way too old to be doing it, so he literally uses the, you saw this, Mike Yard, he literally uses the second rope to get down to one knee. Now imagine, he's on one knee.
Is this WCCW?
Yes, and he's smacking the mat on one knee. Like, he's not even down. He's literally just bending over, holding the ropes to keep himself balanced, just smacking the mat, like, next to him, dude.
So it's worse than Nick Patrick?
Dude, BG, you saw it, right? Is it the worst count you've ever seen?
No, Earl Hebner's forever the worst count.
No, it's just because you have... Hey, I'm positive he slept with your mom at one point. I'm positive an old story of Earl Hebner being, like, with your mom, and you'd be like, mom. No, don't do... It's a joke. Your mother did not sleep with Earl Hebner.
There you go.
Dave, though, she was definitely down for Dave, though, man.
That pisses him off more than anything in the world. You could say she fucked anyone, but if it's Earl Hebner, that's where the line is drawn.
For real. Unbelievable. Did you say Dave or Earl? Because if you said Earl, I'll swing on you. Dave is whatever. Dave is fine, okay? But fucking Earl. Oh, God. Earl gets me crazy.
There was a spot in this match. Volkov did, like, the worst backbreaker of all time, and Rosenbloom called it a soft slam.
I tried to keep up with his move calling, but I was just, at some point, I was just like, that's not even, you don't know, do you?
They did Mega Powers Explode Part 2 at the end because Volkov accidentally hit Sheik with, like, some foreign object, but then they made up, like, so quickly afterwards, and they were fine.
Listen, there's a lot going on. They're telling a lot of stories really quickly because they don't know how long they have them on this earth. Did you see the website? They have tremendous shirts, absolutely fabulous shirts. he sounds like Donald Trump in this moment. He's like, the website's got tremendous shirts, absolutely fabulous shirts.
I fucking want it here as a wrestling shirt now.
Honestly, if someone's got a beat on one, if someone's got a line on one, let me know.
Yep.
George on one.
George has got it. He's
true. He'll make
collection.
It's gonna be Jake the Snake with the snake as a dick.
Yes, rubbing his own breast. He's squeezing the snake with his thighs, so it's still his dick, but he's rubbing his own breast like he did with that lady. The next match is Tully Blanchard defeated Stan Lane. Sweet Stan Lane, Tully Blanchard. Actually, this is the match that I like the most. This was my favorite match of the night.
Tully had an awesome promo before this
the
match.
The promo was fucking great, especially the part where he wiped his nose with a hanky.
Dude! they just recreated the Dusty thing where they beat him up and threw him in the trunk. It's the classic Dusty thing where the fucking Forestman followed Dusty to the Crocker Promotions thing, and as soon as he gets out, they just beat the fuck out of him.
In the parking lot.
They just did that! They're like, we like that, let's do that again.
It was truly a really good promo. He, like, got real fucking intense and stuff.
Yeah. Tully Blanchard is a good promo. His daughter a fucking good promo. She's awesome and he's awesome. Heroes of Wrestling had money for pyro, but Vince doesn't?
Tully had, like, so much fire and shit.
Honestly, he bought it himself. He brought that from home. He's like, you know, 4th of July was a lot, and we can get a lot. And he's like, New Year's is coming up. There's just, like, eight fucking other old wrestlers standing behind the stage fucking, like, Get it? Hurry up, do it at the same time. Boo! Boo, 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 boo!
Stan Lane looked like Surfer Stan without face paint, basically.
He reminded me of Mr. Anderson, actually.
He was actually oozing with charisma in that promo. I liked it.
Stan Lane was awesome. It. Stan Lane was a good, he was fucking, what was it, Midnight Express, right?
Yeah, he only won because Bobby Eaton. That's what Tully Blanchard said.
That's like, Bobby Eaton's a great in-ring worker, but Stan Lane was a better talker. Plus, didn't they have fucking Cornette?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why
there was like 97 different combinations of the Midnight Express, yes, almost always with Cornette though.
But Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton were the guys. That's who the ones that became famous.
Condry and Eaton, I think, were more popular than Lane and Eaton.
Nah, not to me. Cause that was Condry
and Rose
was earlier. Because
yeah, but Condry was like
was
one
the team
he's
that
considered
broke apart.
One of like the
team that broke apart was
Well, I think wasn't Condry and Rose the originals, and then it was Condry and Eaton, and then it was Lane and Eaton, maybe?
I know in
There's a lot of combinations.
Mid-Atlantic, it was Condry and Eaton.
Fucking Nazem Kadri from the Leafs. It's Condry. Dennis Condry.
Camera cuts the random board woman who is mad to be there, and I don't think that was a good choice.
Well, did they cut to Monica Lewinsky in the crowd? I'm wondering, Donnie, did that get the nostalgia pop for you?
Oh, baby.
It absolutely did. Did you? I could tell it was her because of the jasm on her collar.
saved it.
She saved it. She had to. It's a good party dress. Yikes. I know how it feels when I get jasm
Run
on
that
my collar
the fucking
and I keep
dry
it.
Cleaner.
She's like, I don't know. But what was the lady who she talked to that John Goodman played on Saturday Night Live? What's the lady who, like, she had the rose that was on her collar, like, talking to the rose. What the hell is her name? Fuck. I love that shit. I like the old school finish, and this was my favorite match of the night. I really did. I thought this was the best
Rosenbloom
match.
Thought Stan Lane lost due to an illegal move at first.
Over the
he
top
thought,
rope.
He thought the belly-to-back suplex was an illegal move.
It was a weird finish.
He was like the referee from fucking semi-pro. He's like, foul! Two fouls. He's like, no, he didn't do anything. He just, that's alley-oop. He's like, I don't get it.
The old belly-to-back suplex double pin. Great.
I wish that was a finisher for reals. The next match, Abdul the Butcher versus One Man Gang in a, oh, God almighty match. Double count out here because One Man Gang looks terrible. Abdul the Butcher looks the same, to be honest with you. I don't think he was ever young. I just think he's always been the same guy. And this is truly where the show begins to fall apart. We're watching
You forgot before this, though, when Michael St. John was interviewing Bundy and Neidhart, he called him Jim the Nideville Anhart.
He was nervous. This is the biggest thing Biloxi's ever had, dude.
It's
fucking seriously. It's fucking Biloxi. It's just like outside of it. It's like when you're from Depew, you tell me you're from Buffalo. It's the same thing.
Suburb.
Is that how, like, you say you're from Philly and you're not?
I'm from Aston. It's the same thing.
Aston is actually a lot further from Philly.
That's not true. I'm 8 miles from South Philadelphia.
That's very far.
8 mile? Good movie.
8 mile. You don't want none of this. Good.
That's Asian style. Not
Asian. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know any rap. I'm just the worst.
Even at this King Kong Bundy promo, I think it's the most I've seen from him in one show.
Yeah, I mean, I watched all that WCCW was all over that, but yeah, unless you remember WrestleMania 2 and the build to it, yeah, you're not getting a lot of King Kong Bundy.
He cuts so many promos. Between every match is a King Kong Bundy
promo. Well, because they're trying to figure out how to save the main event, because this is where this is where Anvil's out with them. Nideville. And they're starting to build the teams. You're starting to see the formation of the teams, and they're starting to act like the main event was supposed to be this the whole time.
I was so confused.
One Man Gang to the ring with M-Chai Mobility. It was disgusting. Let's call this Butcher Abby. That's a terrifying name. They're like, look at Abby over here. Abby over here. And he's just like,
Abby was accompanied by a giant version of Angus Young from AC/DC.
Just imagine the hepatitis in the ring during this match.
This was worse and bloodier than the last.
They were very willing to get... They're willing to get wet, as they say.
There was a good forking in this match.
Yeah.
And this one kid is, like, really proud to have it.
Yeah, he was so he was, like, mocking the fuck out.
I would not be proud to have that fork.
No.
I would be like, no, thank you. I was talking to a homeless man one time. This is true. I was talking to a homeless man one time who said that Abdul the Butcher was fighting and he took his former ex-wife to the show back in the 80s. And he had a silk shirt on. He said, he's like, I best bought this silk shirt that I fucking loved. It had a horse on it. And Abdul the Butcher
was it a polo shirt?
No, it's like, you know, back in the 80s and 70s, they had those silk shirts, the chest open and shit like that. Yeah. And
like a rock shirt.
But it was also painted like a van that had like a fucking unicorn on the side of it and shit. So it was like, you remember those paintings that were like velvet of like tigers and they were all neon color and shit? Like, it was like that, but a shirt. And Abdul the Butcher rubbed his blood all over his new shirt. And he got so excited, and he said the girl didn't like him anymore because of that.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
And now he's homeless. I gave him $20, so. It's when both of these longtime veterans are bleeding out, and some jobber manager is yelling at them, that I realize this is just Hardcore Reunion or whatever that show was called. Because they're trying to get over Johnny Fantasia.
Where was Cripple H?
Fantasia.
They're trying to get over Johnny Fantasia and this fucking, and this fucking manager. Like, they're building the company moving forward around this manager.
Why is there like all these legends and then there's like a manager that I've never fucking heard of for everyone?
Because that's the new guy that they're gonna build around the company, they're build the company around.
So it's a manager's only company?
Well, look, they're very heavy on managers here, you see.
They got M. Bison, they got Angus Young, IRS.
Who was Lou Albano talking to? And they're like, you're the fucking general manager now. And he's like, I didn't expect
the commish.
Rosenblum called him the commish.
Honestly, he was like, yes, we need all the fucking managers
they can get.
They
just hand a random fucking piece of paper. And it's like, oh, look it, you're the commissioner
now.
And
he's
commissioner. Like, this is the greatest honor of my life and the greatest production I've ever seen.
It said commissioner. Honestly, I was not surprised if it was the greatest production he's ever seen. He's used to the fucking 80s stuff. Also, just a piece of paper that said commissioner on it, and it was misspelled. Didn't even spell it right. Security's over here getting jacked up like they're U.S. Marshals because Abdul the Butcher One Man Gang are the slowest walkers to the back ever, dude. Holy shit.
They nearly murdered each other on multiple occasions, and then the finish was a double countout.
Yep.
Right.
What's
so
fuck?
Weird.
I like that kids watching at home get a shout out to try this at home. That's good. Let's try that. Dutch Mantel's like, if you're trying this at home, you would be bleeding profusely if you took a fork to your forehead. So if you're in your backyard and you and your friends have some sort of backyard wrestling federation, do not, and I repeat, do not get a fork unless it is properly sanitized.
Why is he the professor from fucking Waterboy?
Oblongata. I don't know. So that's what happens when you fucking do this as long as we do.
I like to think that they're still fighting somewhere.
They are still fighting somewhere, but they're fighting for their lives at this point. I like the fact that they're hitting each other in the skull with chairs, and fucking Dutch Mantel says, he brained him on that one, and I'm just worried about the CTE. Holy shit, dude.
I think they got it already.
Yeah, they definitely have. For signing the contract to be on this show, you bet your ass. Jimmy Snuka defeated Cowboy Bob Orton Jr.
Okay. Starting a feud with cheating at the poker table was amazing.
Yeah, I like that.
But it's so weird how it looked like the table was just set up in a random empty room.
For real, that's fine. A fucking casino. They're at a casino. Just be like, can
they
we use
even
tables?
Do it, though.
Can we use it to one table, please? Like, no, you can't. It's like, who the fuck are you? Don't you ever cheat Jimmy Snuka in cards. He will literally kill you.
Cheating in poker games garners more heel heat than murder is what I learned from this.
Yep, that's true. Because everybody's like, Jimmy Snuka, legend of the ring. You know, that lady Argentina was murdered in a room or whatever, but don't worry about that.
And this fucking cheating piece of shit, Cowboy Bob Orton, who raised his son to be a WWE superstar. Nope.
The promos leading into the next three matches are absolutely incredible, including these. Captain Lou's knees coming down to the ring are fucking Great Khali-esque. He is struggling so hard here. This match is unfucking real. Snuka can't even get over the top rope.
He did do a dive, though. He pulled it off.
Oh, my God. But
I was told he got lost in the lights or some fucking bullshit.
Yeah, remember that? He got lost in the lights, dude.
Before the match show, when Cowboy Bob cut the promo, he said that Captain Lou got his dander up, baby.
He did. This is very old. My grandfather would have been popping left and right for the terminology used. You're out there looking sharp, Junior, but I tell you what, you got your dander up, and I'm going to take you down a peg or two. Like, my God, he's a hell of a fucking promo.
Did you hear the fucking chants?
No.
You didn't?
No, what'd they say?
I thought it was fucking...
Is that your phone ringing? Why? What is happening?
I thought it was fucking Philadelphia with what they were chanting.
What were they chanting?
They chant... I'm pretty sure they chanted Bob's, Geisler.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But yeah. So you're telling... Hold on. You're telling me Biloxi, Mississippi in 2000... Oh, 1999, nope. There was some issues with, you know, LGBT awareness.
Mm-hmm.
In the crowd indeed. That were exclusively wife beaters, we're having some fucking acceptance issues. I'm stunned by that.
I mean, believe it or not, I feel like that's what happened.
Yeah, I do too. I'm pretty sure they whatever. I'm not gonna get into it, but it's exactly they are who we thought they were, and we let them get off the hook. Dutch.
R.I.P. Danny Green.
Yeah, Dutch sits there and he defends this mess. This match is so fucking long. Like,
it was like more than 15 minutes, I think.
It was so long. And at one point, they're both so blown up that they're just laying there and they almost get double counted out at 10. And they both get up and then lay back down. I was like, yikes. I don't think the play-by-play guy was the worst. I think he's got some raw potential. It was like, this is like when I saw ZZ, and I saw a lot of potential in ZZ, and I was
I think he's like Mike Adamley.
Jeff, what was he? Jeff Hardley, what do you
call
him?
Jeff Harvey!
Jeff Harvey! Jeff Harvey still to this day is what I call him. Brother Harville is what I call him. Snuka murdered this appearance, I think.
Killed it!
He killed it like a woman in an Allentown hotel room.
I believe he murdered her before the hotel room.
Yeah. No, I think
when they went to take a piss.
I'm pretty sure he beat the shit out of her in the hotel.
Well, yeah, he did that. No. I think he beat the shit out of her on the side of the road, and then she died in the hotel.
Jeez. Either way, she died because he fucking laid those hands on her.
Right.
I think his name is Nancy Argentina or something like that. Argentino?
Yeah. Argentino.
Yeah, she got those hands.
Yikes.
She did. And Jimmy Snuka got away with it.
And then he died.
So, R.I.P. to the victim. And let's get on to the main event. I know it was scheduled to be Tuesday.
The main event, the Jake the Snake promo. You want to play 21? I got 22. You want to play blackjack? I got two of those, too.
I don't get it. But I'll tell you what.
I don't think this was his best, and I'm not sure he knows what he said.
He did not know what he said. Here's what I would do. Right before, we all make fun of TNA, but at Victory Road 2011, just imagine if right before the Jeff Hardy match, they're like, yo, go cut a promo. Go cut a promo for us, okay?
They want to get their money's worth.
He's like, alright, man, I am fucked
did
up.
Did you hear him yell at the cameraman?
He did, he's like,
yes. Mr. Cameraman, get your ass back up here. Hello, I'm talking to you.
Main event changed per fucking drunkenness. Jake Roberts is drunk as fuck.
Michael St. John was so rocked by the smell of scotch and shame. After that interview.
He had a fucking, what is it called when you're in a room and you get high when somebody else is smoking? Like a contact high. He had a contact drunk. He's like, he's getting drunk of the smell.
The fumes were just flying.
Jake Roberts so drunk, this is what the pay-per-view is known for. When everybody looks back, they think of this. This is the mess that led to why everybody hates this so much. He makes Aces and Eights references a decade ahead of time, and I want to believe that Bully Ray, when he was like, we gotta come up with a freaking name. I was watching Heroes of Wrestling, and drunk Jake the Snake was like, Aces and Eights, and I was like, you know what, he's fucking right. Through the drunkenness, he's fucking right.
You always split Aces and Eights.
That's true. Holy animal cruelty, Jake the Snake. Fucking what the hell, man? Yeah. How many snakes do you think he's accidentally killed?
I know he said he's killed at least one accidentally.
Yep. Damn. So he's killed many, I'm sure.
I like how Rosenbloom said that Jake was the first one to show up at Casino Magic. I could tell.
Yeah. He showed up 3 days ago and hasn't left the fucking bar, except for when he's fucking dragged to the room.
He wore his best sweatpants for the
He
match.
Did, and he didn't even tie his boots. He did not put forth any effort here.
Jim Neidhart is in this match, not even close to being the most fucked up person in it.
The best part is Jim Neidhart is trying his best to put everything together. He's working so hard to make it happen. I really do appreciate how hard he worked in this. Because fucking Yokozuna didn't do shit. He was just waiting for that hot tag. He didn't care.
Former Yokozuna.
And King Kong Bundy didn't fucking do much. It was all Anvil. This was all Anvil trying to save everything so hard.
Jake acting like Damien was his dong was the highlight.
Oh my god.
Well, he had this woman rub his breast. He tried to make out with Damien too.
Well,
yes.
Well, hold on. Jake comes to the ring. He makes a woman squeeze his tits together, which is incredible. And the woman's down for it too. He picked the right woman.
It.
He picked the right woman. He knew that she was down for it and shit. And she's like, let's do this thing. Then he uses his snake as a fake dick and puts it in Anvil's face. And Anvil's like, Anvil slapped the fucking dick, the dick snake away. He's like, get out of here. PSA, real quick, don't buy a snake if all you want to do is make a dick and rub on people with it. That's not fucking cool. It's an animal, it's got feelings, I know it does, I know what you say, but come on, don't use it as a, it's literally a living dildo and he's just fucking smacking it around and shit like that. You're right, he legit tongue kissed Damien, he just starts laying down and then he's just like, like licking it and shit. I don't get it. The play-by-play guy is like concerned for the well-being of the snake, and Dutch Mantel turns him and says, "What are you, some sort of animal rights activist?" And I said, "Yes, motherfucker, I am. Get that snake away from that drug guy, dude."
King Kong Bunny comes out, and he looks legit fucking pissed that it's about to be a tag team match. Although I will say, I don't think him and Yokozuna can have a singles match, so.
Well, to be fair, this tag match was much better than the two co-main events on their own.
Yeah.
You should have done this from Jump Street, regardless of the fucking blood alcohol level of your fucking main star. At first, Jake being drunk as fuck was really funny, but he falls at one point, and I got fucking sad, dude, because I watched the documentary, and I watched, like, Beyond the Mat and shit like that. That's this time, man. And it's like, it's horrifying to see how bad he was and for how long he was that bad. It was like a decade.
Not good.
It was really fucking sad because he's a legit legend. He just fucking, this is what it proves to me. And with a daughter now, I fucking think about it all the time. Doesn't matter where you come from, what you do. Drugs takes down everybody. It does not fucking matter. So it's so scary and so sad. And, you know, like I said, we were laughing because he's doing all this shit. And then he keeps falling over, and you just see it, and you're like, oh, fuck. And because you realize in the moment, it's you jump the shark. It's really horrible and sad now.
But how about that ass on Yoko, baby?
He was extreme. How long did until he died? What year did he die
in? Like a year.
Have been long.
Yeah, he was
like
he
October 2000.
He looked really, really bad here, too. I felt terrible for him as well. Captain Lou, though, he comes in. He's like, don't try this at home, folks. So they're sending me mixed messages. Should I try it or should I not try it? I'm sitting here with a fork in my hand about to stab my buddy's forehead. We're about to have a mass transit incident in my fucking backyard. What are we doing here? Tell me what we're doing here.
I like how there was a weird hairless guy that they started calling Baby Bundy.
Yeah, that was the manager. They just he's running around, dude. Holy ending. What a splash, bro. And then
1v1, he did it.
I'd like to drip my snake on your face as well, because he just starts dripping his snake on faces at this point. And this was really hard to watch towards the end. It was funny for the most part, and like, oh shit, he's really fucked up, and then like, it got sad. It's really fucking sad, but the pay-per-view overall was fucking insane. I've never watched this front to back. And if I did, I watched it when it happened on illegal cable, and I don't remember it. Because I don't remember most of this. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, you know, over the years on like YouTube and shit like that. I mean,
the only things I've seen were the Jake the Snake things. I never saw like anything before that. So, I learned today.
Yeah, you learned today that this is not good. This was a not. If I have to give this pay-per-view a rank, and the whole time the announcers are selling this like we're watching one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yep.
It is really rough, and it's just like there was one part where Jake's supposed to go for a tag, and he literally falls down and can't make the tag anymore because he's so drunk. and that was the hot tag that was supposed to happen. And I think it was Bunny comes in and just like drops an elbow on him. And fucking Dutch is like, he's cutting off the ring. That's classic storytelling. And I'm just like, he's trying so hard. He's trying so hard. It's so bad. So yeah, that's any other notes? Did I miss anything? We got everything? I gave it a 4 out of 10 for nostalgia's sake and for laughter's sake, but it lost a lot of points for a lot of things throughout the night, but.
11 out of 10.
Yeah. PG?
3 out of 10.
Okay, that's lower than I thought you'd go. But yeah, so
Jordan. I did not have fun with this.
So I had a lot of fun watching this, actually. I had a lot of fun watching and talking about this. It was so bad, it was good. George Cruz, he decided to make us watch this. I don't even know if he ended up watching it. I think he just, like, heard about how horrible it was.
He bailed.
He did. I'm pretty sure he bailed. So I hope that everybody makes him feel bad and makes him watch it before he hears this, because otherwise I'm going to be pissed if we did this and he didn't have to watch it. I will watch this so no one else has to, except for George, who also has to. BG, how can anybody else do this? How can anybody else make us? Oh, you're so down. You should have jumped in there at some point. I was hoping, but I've just like completely lost you to just reality. No. I was like, whatever. I hate this. So,
it got real dark.
If somebody else wants to make us watch a horrible pay-per-view from the fucking, from yesterday.
There's nowhere to go but up.
I'm waiting for someone to finally give us a good show to watch. And you can do that by going to patreon.com/ringrustradio. Donate to the retro tier. Email us, ringrustradio@yahoo.com, with the wrestling theme show. It doesn't have to be a wrestling pay-per-view. We'll review something that a wrestler is in.
We did They Live.
You tell us that. Yeah, They Live. There's plenty of stuff. Boy Meets World still out there, guys.
Yeah.
Just saying. Vader's on there. Mankind is on there. Isn't Jake the Snake in an episode, Mike?
He is. Watch the DDT, Dad!
Well, yeah, if you remember during that episode, he walks up to Topanga and he starts rubbing her hands on his breasts. And then he uses the
director's cut.
He uses the snake and drops it as a dick on Mr. Finkel's. Yeah. What's his name? Finkel's? What's his name? Finkel's head.
Feeny.
Mr. Feeny. Mr. Feeny gets the fucking snake dick in his mouth and shit. And he's like, you can't handle it. I remember that episode. I remember that one.
Man, that was our whole review. But yeah, go to patreon.com. So it's Ringrose Radio. Donate to the retro tier and email us the show you want us to review.
All right, guys. You know what? That is another episode of Ring Rust Retro. Fuck you, George Cruz, for doing that to us. But you know what? We got to move on. All right, guys. It's time to talk fantasy standings. BG's doing terrible. Mike, I hope you're not leading.
In last place, 17th, with -60, BG.
And this is through Raw, because we're taping this before SmackDown, so fuck you.
Yes. A tie for 15th, -32.5, Dante and Alex McNinch.
Oh, my God. Can you give me BG's score one more time, though?
-60. -60.
Wow.
Zero.
Wow.
I'm upset that Kevin Owens won on Monday.
Honestly,
he also
I am,
lost.
Too. Yeah, don't worry. He lost on the same show. It's like he did nothing in that sense.
Mm-hmm, exactly. He wasn't nothing. Even there.
That's not true. He cemented himself as the top heel on Raw.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A tie for 13th. I think Sami Zayn is. A tie for 13th with -30, Joe and Robert.
Wow. Not a good place for you to be, Joe. Probably not a good place. Next to Robert? Yikes. The AJ guy looks like AJ Styles? Yikes.
In 12th with -22.5, Matt Judd.
Good effort. I'll say that about him. Good effort. Good, you're trying.
Is he? And 11th with -20, Daniel.
We're still at -20, dude.
Yeah.
Daniel, hello. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the hard work, but you got to do better than this. Get better.
Well, maybe if we didn't draft at like fucking 3 in the morning every time, you would do better.
Are you making excuses for him now?
Yes, I am.
Unbelievable.
In 10th with -5, Ira.
Okay, he's got to build an excuse. He didn't even know where he was at one point during this draft.
At one point. Three-way tie for 7th with 15, George Sparrows, Roger Allen, and Angel.
Oh, that's a good class, actually. That's a good group of fans right there.
Nice threesome.
It's a good trio.
I would watch it. I'd watch cool. from afar.
It's like, a solid yeah. Minaj.
I'd watch from afar, like
could do a retro
like,
on it,
like Marty the Moth, like in like a the squalor of like a broken glass.
So as
like,
not to get hit with any fluids. In sixth with 20, Donnie.
Yeah, baby, 20 points, big points too. Those are big points.
In fifth with 35, Andrew Sampson.
Sampson, I could smell you from where I'm at. It smells like fucking latex and fucking.
Shame.
Lube.
Shame. In fourth with 50, Matt Cantillon.
Cantillon. I'll spit in your face.
In third with 57.5, Andrew Skeens.
I can't wait to meet Cantillon and just fucking greet him being like, I can't wait to spit in your face. And his family's like, please don't. That's our son. But Skeener, yeah. Cool.
In second with 65, it's Big Money Mike.
Stupid. I hope you never fucking. If he gets a lead, we gotta figure shit out, BG. We can't let. We gotta talk over him.
Maybe do better. And in first with 70, George Cruz.
Fuck George Cruz, dude. For real. He is now. You're 130 points behind him now? No. How many points are you behind him now?
BG?
Yeah.
He's 130 behind.
130. That's a
piece of cake.
Piece of cake.
But to be fair, because George didn't draft Cedric Alexander, he ruined Cedric Alexander's life because he never wrestles anymore, and he also ruined his own team because he's not
he wrestled
like,
on 205
shows.
Live.
Well, yeah, finally, probably won too.
I don't know.
Damn right.
We recorded this before then, so I don't fucking know. BG, how do you know?
We spoke about it.
How do you know?
Yeah, we sure did.
But this was recorded before SmackDown.
Before it aired.
I don't really know.
How does time work? This is how I feel like when I get too shit-faced in the basement, I'm by myself like reading an alien book, and I look around, I'm like, is time even real? Is time even real? Oh, I'm literally sad John Cena. My whole life is sad John Cena. I'm just alone in my cigar bar like, I don't even want anybody in here. It's sad, sadly.
Play some Nas.
I will not play Nas in my fucking cigar room. It'll be simply Frank Sinatra only. what is I want it my way?
it's your version. It's your version of Pat Patterson.
I'm not covering Frank doing it. I'm covering Pat Patterson doing it.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. It's just him doing it. I love that. We should do a retro on that. Watch it
Legends
again.
House?
Yeah.
It's been so long, right?
Somebody we'll figure out a scheme where each week we cover an episode of it, but it'll be expensive. It'll be like a couple $100. But if you want to do that, we will do that. We'll watch every single episode, and we'll do it in order. Like, we're reviewing it like we're watching it live.
Do Camp WWE.
Oh, did you watch this week's Camp WWE?
Not yet.
I did with Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. I watched it. Dude, I watch everything on the fucking network. I'm such a fucking mark for this network. But yeah, no, I watched it. The Ultimate Warrior's in it, and Stone Cold and the Ultimate Warrior have a big part of it, and Sergeant Slaughter has to come save him from the Ultimate Warrior.
All right, come on, man, I'm gonna watch it.
When you're watching it, do you, like, expect, like, Devon Erics to show up and shit?
No, because I can compartmentalize. And I can put stuff to the side, and, you know, think about one thing, and then, but I'm always in the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder what Buck Zumoff's up to right now in WCCW.
You wonder what he's up to? He's getting he's getting railed right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, not right now. Like in the WCCW timeline. I know what he's doing right now. He is a forced bottom in jail. But he is a star right now in WCCW, which just blows my mind. Also, all the dead people who are alive, too. Very sad. Also, did you know?
You know.
What's the Freebird's name? God damn it, I'm blanking on his name.
Gorgeous
Jimmy Garvin. No, Jimmy Garvin, right?
He wasn't even technically a Freebird.
He was technically Freebird in WCW, yes.
He was a helper.
No, he was just him and Michael P.S. Hayes
were
the tag team in WCW.
In WCW, but
well, that's part of the Freebirds. But either way, really in WCCW, who's just around, and he was hanging with him, and you could tell he was friends with him. But, with that said, he had his valet, Sunshine. Right? Or Precious. I think Sunshine was the first one. And he was with her for months, right? And it was his fucking cousin. They were like kissing and shit. It was his cousin.
It's just another fucking day in Philadelphia, pretty much.
I mean, this is Texas, so it doesn't even make sense. But with that said, his real wife ends up coming on the scene and becomes Precious, and there's a big feud between Precious and Sunshine.
So his cousin and his wife were fighting for his affection.
And then at one point, his cousin's mom shows up. That's what's happening right now. His cousin's mom shows up, and she's a trucker. And, like, Bill Mercer's trying to cut a normal promo. Like, I'm just here looking for this woman. And in comes this fucking 18-wheeler, like, squalling. Like, it's fucking convoy. And she's like, I'm looking for that Jimmy Garvin. I'm going to kill him. I don't care if I can. She's got 2x4
inches. So it's basically Southpaw.
It is. Southpaw is literally based off of what I'm watching right now. But it's so crazy because it's real. And people are going apeshit. This old, little old woman shows up during a penalty box match. WCCW had this thing of penalty box matches where if you broke a rule, you had to go to the penalty box for a minute or whatever. And you had to sit there. And Jimmy Garvin's stuck inside it. And this old woman comes out of the crowd and just starts beating the fuck out of him inside the cage. And the Sportatorium came unglued, dude. They are hyping the Sportatorium. I can see why everybody talks so good about this show. It's really fun. It's really, really fun. You should watch every episode that ever existed of it. All right, let's talk about emails, guys. RingRestRadio@yahoo.com. Keep it short, keep it sweet, keep it permanent. Mike, you're number one.
This is from the Texas Tornado, Kerry Vaughn, Eric Johnson.
This is perfect. Thank you. I think you're right at this point that when we do this all-time draft that's coming up here.
It's going to just be WCW.
I'm just going to be like.
Give me the Iceman, King Parsons.
Yeah, listen, okay? Are the Super Destroyers still out there? It's like, yeah. Oh, my God. Thank God.
I'm going to need Skandor Akbar.
Yeah, but only if I get Kamala.
Timely references.
Literally, there's one fan of our show right now like, this is it! This is why I've been listening! For your fucking funny, topical conversations about my favorite show from the early 1980s. One 80-year-old dude in Texas who loves Ring Rust. Thank you, sir.
Subject is Romeo. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. Contribute to the email to your higher. Guaranteed this one email run the show every single month. Hey, Ring Thrusters.
Ooh, it's suggestive.
And I'm back. Some heat on the show last week about Romeo Rags. Can I join? I was watching the Stooges collection on the network. Tons of JR jokes about Patterson.
Yep, I watched that as well.
And a guy showed up I forgot about, Sean Stasiak.
That's not true for me because Sean Stasiak literally follows me on Twitter. And I get so many meat selfies.
I want to interview meat.
whether you know it or not, in New Orleans, you did. You were asleep. And,
oh, I know.
You got two pralines and the meat.
Looks great. Ring skills. Amazing pedigree. Did you break into my room?
Beignet.
No, your old lady was definitely part of the plan.
Oh, yeah?
Pralines and the beignet.
But a mediocre gimmick, meat, and never did anything to perform and prove he is capable
of
the next level.
Meat is not a mediocre gimmick. That's a terrible gimmick.
It's the best gimmick.
He was literally with PMS. It was such a fucking terrible gimmick.
Romeo, also saddled with his gimmick, could do more, sell more, draw more. I've come to the conclusion that he's in limbo with this gimmick because he's not showing the capacity to progress beyond it. His matches, his mic work are all okay, not bad at best. He's meat. No, he's not. But since he draws fan reaction...
He's meat with a good gimmick that fucking he can't get over.
Not me. But since he draws fan reaction,
yeah,
now
right.
we go
I would
Superman
rather have Sean Stasiak in this position than Romeo Rags, and that's a shoot, brother.
No, it's not. And the more fans hate him for underperformance, the more reaction he gets, and on. WWE has found a formula they like. I want to know your thoughts about these criticisms. All right, we'll go one by one. One, Reigns performs no technical wrestling moves ever! Punch, kick, shoulder block, spear, drive-by. Can you name another?
Can
yes,
you?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Don't
power
say
bomb.
That avalanche fucking
power bomb
thing that he does
drops,
because...
sit-out slams, other moves when he needs to, but if you look at a lot of the top guys of all time, you can see they did very little in the ring. Hogan, Stone Cold, Roddy Piper, pretty much all they did was punches and kicks and whatever. And looking at Reigns, he's not a guy who I want doing fucking surfboard stretches and shooting star presses and all kinds of ridiculous shit. So I really don't have an issue.
Here's my problem. Hey, let me just address that real quick. Because you mentioned Stone Cold, and I think that's a good example. Stone Cold did less with more. Stone Cold was a great worker for his entire career and then was kind of riddled with injuries, so he kind of just simplified his storytelling in the ring by doing the moves and then making everything like land in it. The thing is, he told a great story with what he did. My problem with Romeo Rags is, yes, he does this, but it's just like, oh, have I hit my drive-by yet? No, I'll do that now. Did I do this? I'll get that in now. With no rhyme or reason. If he's stomping a mud hole in you, it's because he's now so fired up in that match that Stone Cold is now stomping a hole in you.
The way Reigns is booked every match is, okay, you're going to get your ass beat, and then you're going to make your babyface comeback, and you're going to win. So, like, what do you want him to do?
That's
what they want from him.
Well, call him the fly. Say, guess what? The match didn't go as planned. And you know what? This is my yard now. If Undertaker didn't like what was booked for him in a match,
really,
he would have flipped it. Yeah, listen, man. It's his fucking life,
That's
now or never.
Not even true, because whatever Undertaker's told to do by Vince McMahon, he does.
Yeah, in terms of who he's facing, but not in terms of what was going on in the ring.
He's the ultimate company guy.
Listen, he's in many of the conversations. Shane McMahon said it himself. They were like, gave him free reign of like what they're going to do with the match. Because who are you to tell the Undertaker?
Sure, Roman Reigns doesn't have free reign.
He needs to then give him more than that. Let him do more.
If
he doesn't have it, then advocate for it. Fight for it, dude. If you want it so bad, fight for it. Or sit back, be the company bitch, and fucking just do what you're told. Whatever you want. I want a badass. I don't want a fucking yes man. Go ahead.
Well, you'd be left with like four people then, apparently.
Whatever.
Okay.
They could all go to All In, where it's a bunch of fucking free thinkers. Go ahead, Mike. Oh my god, please tell me he left.
He's gone, man.
That is so funny.
It's just me and you.
Okay, let's continue that, because I don't even care, because this is going to be his. I'm sure he had all this prepared, and he's going to be like, done by the time he comes back.
I just want to say, like, we mentioned the top guys, like The Rock is in there. Obviously, John Cena's in there. You guys look at people like Braun Strowman, who people love right now. He's doing the same shit.
Oh, yeah, so, there's definitely formulas for stuff. I think it's when you're a giant,
right, like,
Andre. You're not expecting that because he's an attraction. He's a huge dude. Roman's just a dude, so he needs to kind of lean more on his wrestling skills, which I think many people, including I think, are not, up to par with a lot of other guys who are top guys.
I just think it's a little bit hypocritical of many people when they just call him out. Oh, he only does these certain moves. It's like, yeah, most people only do the certain moves in WWE. That's what they do. It's why when you go into the fucking video game, they have signature moves. Like, there's a moveset that guys have. That's the one that Roman Reigns has. Braun Strowman has his, also limited. Guys like Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, they have more moves. They're asked to go put on those type of performances. The Rock, Stone Cold, like we said, they didn't have that. They weren't asked to do that. So I just think it's weird, like, to get on Roman Reigns just because you want to highlight, you don't like the one guy. Like, everyone's doing it. They're all doing the same shit.
If everybody was jumping off the bridge, would you do it?
I mean, it depends how high the bridge is, you know?
Two. Kickouts are ridiculous. Even Reigns should agree.
We all agree on that.
Well, I assume he means kicking out of finishers, and if he means that, then yes.
We all
agree.
That's
way too much, and we don't like the way he's booked at all.
No.
Before we move on.
Oh, my God, here we go.
All right. Because all you people need to fucking check yourself. I'm the one who complains the most about it. People kicking out in matches consistently. People on the indie scene don't seem to have a fucking problem with it when it's happening there. Everyone's kicking out of these huge moves and finishers, yet Donnie comes here, oh, it's such a great match, and every time anyone complains about a kick out of a finisher or a kick out of a big move, no, it's okay, it's not this. But then Roman Reigns does it.
I've been saying that for years.
John Cena does it, all of a sudden it's a problem.
Here's the problem. It's kicking out for kicking out's sake. Because if you get one Rainmaker and you kick out of it, but you don't kick out of the second one, that shows
I've taken it before.
Listen, there are times where I think that it's egregious as well. We can all agree that sometimes we go overboard with the fucking false finishes. But in that same vein, we just talked to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. There was 21 false finishes in that match.
None was from a finisher, though.
with that, okay, you could, that, and that, that's a fair point too, but there are false finishes.
It's not something I can't say, it's true.
But there are false finishes, and you want to do that, and that's how you intensify. If you've fought each other five or six times, one or two Rainmakers may not take you down because you, you're taking it differently. You're not getting hit as hard as you would if you had never taken it before. So I could buy it in certain situations.
My
problem is that Roman Reigns, especially in that WrestleMania match, was just kicking out of finishers to kick out of finishers, and there was no rhyme or reason to it. It went from no one kicked out of one F5 the whole year. That was the story they were telling. They abandoned that story because it was the story was that's why Braun didn't kick out. That's why Samoa Joe didn't kick out. That's what everybody was saying. Like, okay, it was only one and nobody kicked out. Like, protecting the finisher, but you make these guys look like J-Bros. If it was one and then he kicked out and he took the second one and then took the loss, I'm fine with that because that's the fucking story you're telling. Him kicking out of five fucking finishers, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying.
We're not disagreeing with you. Right. We are 100% agreeing with you. The problem is that everyone wants to pin this all of a sudden on a Roman Reigns thing. They're all doing it all over the fucking world. No one wants to complain in those matches. It's only because Roman Reigns.
Right, exactly. If I could, I would totally reset all of wrestling and rebuild every finishing move from the ground up to the point where, if you see a finishing move about to happen and it gets evaded, that's a big moment in a match. If somebody hits a finishing move in a huge match and it gets kicked out of, then that's a huge moment because it's like never happened before. And that's how it used to be. But now it gets kicked out of all the time, multiple times in matches, sometimes in matches that's just on a Raw or SmackDown, and it means nothing when you kick out of a finisher. And that's happens in Roman Reigns matches a lot, but it happens in other matches too.
It happens everywhere.
I don't like it with Roman Reigns, and I don't like it anywhere else.
That's devaluing a move. As someone who literally is watching nothing but old wrestling right now, what was the Von Erich move? What did they all do?
The claw.
And you just see Kevin throw his hand up in the air and the Sportatorium loses their fucking cool just by raising his fucking hand like a chokeslam. It's that signifying moment of a move that's big coming up. And that has been devalued big time over the years because it's gotten people, their tastes have changed. This traditional wrestling just doesn't work as much. I wish they would bring back some aspects because it's been long enough to where I think it would be fresh again. What's old is new once again. So I think we need to start. And look, I said to you today, Mike, I need more time limit draws. Why do we give everybody fucking like relatively clean losses? Let's just do time limit draws every once in a while.
There's a lot of things that wouldn't work in old wrestling, that was good in old wrestling, and it wouldn't work today. But there's certain things, like you said, like maybe time limit draws in certain situations could be good, like having protected finishers would be good. Like, not having guys face each other a billion times and actually building a story without them actually having a match against each other every single fucking week. Like, there's a lot of things that they could take from that and apply it to now, and wrestling would be a lot better if they did it. And that's one of them, is protecting finishers.
So what you're saying is WWE should hire us to watch old wrestling and give them ideas.
We don't need to watch old wrestling and give them ideas and book a better fucking show.
Well, you do.
We've already done it.
Yeah, because of me.
Okay, but like, God, here's another thing. Like, signature moves. Fuck you. Signature moves. What purpose do they have? No one ever loses from a signature move. The Blue Thunderbomb, no one's ever fucking been pinned from that.
Because
in WWE.
If you don't hit the signature move, then you can't get that fucking little jump in the bar that finally gives you the finisher that flashes when you fucking get, like, you know, on the game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, right?
I know you're right.
You don't get
stupid
the finisher.
To book around the fucking 2K game.
Okay, well, it does seem like that we, real life, art imitates life. So, go ahead.
3, the Superman punch is the stupidest, most non-believable finishing move in the history of wrestling. It's actually not his finisher. How are we to take a badass professional fighter seriously when they jump 2 feet in the air to deliver a punch? I don't know, ask people who do it in MMA.
They don't do it in MMA.
Sometimes.
No, they don't. It's
before.
A very rare thing, and if they do, they're jumping off the wall or something, because you lose all of your fucking leverage when you fucking jump into the air for a punch.
Well, people do it. Why would he take all the momentum out of his swing by doing so?
Exactly.
He should be getting his ass knocked out every time he tries that bullshit. Bad storytelling. The main reason I hate this character. Keep up the good work. Ring Rust. Kerry Von Erich, Young, Bischoff, Rocky, Dwayne, Jumping John Johnson, the third. My argument
I like that name.
With my argument with the Superman punch is that 99% of wrestling moves are kind of silly. Like, any move off the ropes where you do, like, flips and shit, why wouldn't you just dive on top of them? Or stuff with theatrics, like the people's elbow or the five knuckle shuffle. It doesn't hurt anymore because you're doing that. It's all part of the presentation. Dumb. Yeah, but it looks cool.
I never thought it looked cool once.
It does look cool. And sure, if you punch somebody normally, it's probably going to do a lot more damage than if you jump in the air and punch them. But you know what? It looks cooler to do the Superman. Most wrestling moves are because they look cool.
Listen, if we're in a close quarter fighting situation and you jump into the air, we're in wrestling.
That's what wrestling is.
Wrestling is a close quarter fucking physical competition.
I don't know if you know this, but wrestling, it's not like 100%.
I get that it's not real, but you want it to be realistic.
Stage. It's real. It's stage.
Yes. It's stage.
You know how much shit.
You want it to be realistic? My problem is, wrestling is not realistic. My problem is because a CM Punk might try a Superman punch or something like that, but anyone who has any fucking experience would fucking destroy you while you're floating in the air. You know what I mean? Like preparing for a weak ass punch. I'm gonna fucking double leg shoot your legs and slam you to the ground and just whip that ass.
Okay, but AJ Styles does the phenomenal forearm, which is honestly like a stupid thing if you really look at it, and it looks cool and people like it because it's AJ Styles.
How is it a stupid thing? He's jumping off a rope and hitting you in the face with his forearm.
Okay, if he hit you in the face with his fucking forearm just standing in front of you, it hurt just as much,
if
not more.
He's launching 200 pounds at you like a fucking...
It's a drop kick with his arm.
Yes, it does. That's momentum. That's literally what it does. It's like a drop kick from the top. It's a fucking torpedo drop kick. It's much more momentum than a standing drop kick.
Okay, Roman Reigns running at you and punching you is more momentum than standing there
launching.
And punching you.
He's not catapulting off a rope that's adding momentum.
Yes, he is, actually.
He does it with the spear, which helps his momentum. God, you don't get anything, dude.
I get a lot.
Do some science.
I get that it's fucking wrestling, and if it looks cool, that's why they do it.
Yeah, well, guess what?
It looks cool, and everyone loved it until Mel said he was the golden child.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never loved it.
You totally did. You loved Roman Reigns.
You also said that he was like the next Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was not wrong.
You're a fucking idiot. You were wrong.
He's being booked like the Rock without any of the talent. I was dead on, dude.
No.
He's not being booked like the Rock at all.
He's a top face right now.
Really? The Rock always lost to Stone Cold.
Okay, well, there's not a Stone Cold anymore, dude. Stop living in the past, Mark.
Yeah, there is.
Roman Reigns is not Stone Cold. Fuck you.
He's booked like Stone Cold.
I'm going to punch you in the fucking dick.
He fucking wins all the time.
He's like Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan all rolled into one. All
right, BG, next email?
Next email. It's from the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels, Mesa. I'm very confused by this nickname.
It's the Lucha Ladies Man. Angel, the Lucha Ladies Man, Mesa.
What happened?
He's the fallen angel. It's always been this for me.
That's stupid.
I don't think so.
That's not it at all. Why are you trying to take away the nickname
that you know he loves?
You
guys can question my nicknames all you want. I have documentation of them all.
That's so fucking cool. But his nickname's not this. He's our Lucha Ladies Man. He's our man on the ground.
It's been this for a very long time.
Go on. This is despicable.
Donnie, have you ever seen it this way?
Nope. Go.
No.
I'll send you proof.
Subject is Rags to Riches. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio to donate to the email tier or higher. Guarantee you get at least one email read on the show each month.
I'll let Angel confirm for me. That's how I'll know.
Hi, Triple R. Hopefully you're all doing well.
Nope.
Not really.
Sorry, Angel. Since Lucha is coming back soon, I want you guys to book a Lucha Underground wrestler, someone who hasn't won the world title, to win the title at Ultima Lucha 4 as a result of a long storyline.
Is this a fucking spoiler? Does somebody who hasn't won the title win the Ultima Lucha 4, dude?
Don't do that.
I know, it better not be, Angel.
Yeah.
I went on the wiki and covered the right-hand side so I could look at the roster. I made it through.
I went to do that. I was too fearful, so I just did someone I could think of.
I made it through.
Hopefully you guys have fun with this, Donnie. And I'm looking forward to you guys and the fans who experience season 4 of Lucha. P.S. I want to respond to Donnie and Kiari about people closing their eyes during the previews of movies by saying that many people, including myself, do in fact close our eyes when previews are playing. We put on earphones with music playing in order to drown out the trailers. Majority of people now stop watching trailers for things because they show too much, which I agree with. And that's my problem with trailers. They show you the whole fucking movie in 3 minutes. No reason to see movies anymore.
When you close your eyes, when you're doing that, people put roofies in your drinks.
Wait, no, when you close your eyes, do you fantasize about a friend being near you instead of alone in a movie theater? Like, oh, he didn't show up. I was dreaming of it, my dream boy.
No, you've been to one movie in like 7 years.
I hate the fucking movies. I'm not. I don't care. I don't care. I went to see Super Troopers. It was fucking great. Loved it. Had a great time. Never going back. They got me leather seats and the fucking pretzel bite, even matzo fuckerella sticks, man. Not going
to say matzo ball.
Nah, matzo ball
soup.
Oh, all right, I would have Cage regain the gauntlet, totally fuck shit up, and then win the title to hold it hostage like a true Lucha Lesnar.
Didn't he fucking win the belt before, or did he just rip Pumas?
No, I don't.
I thought he just ripped
stole
Pumas.
It. Yeah, he stole it.
Okay.
That was really fucking cool.
Yeah, it was. And the belt was so lame. Or like, the belt's so lame. And he ripped it and they came out this new belt. And I was like, ooh, I like that. Keep my expectations super low. So regardless, the belt looks amazing. Mike Yuri?
Well, Killshot's won the CZW title, but I don't really consider that a world title. So
I thought
Joel
it just
beat...
meant Lucha.
Wow.
World title.
Oh, I thought you meant Lucha. I didn't know you had the shit on other promotions.
Well, he just said world title. I just wanted to get jumped.
I just went through Lucha world title.
Okay, well, I do Aztec Warfare really early in the season and make it for a shot at Lucha Underground Championship at Ultima Lucha 4 at the end of the season. Have it come down to Killshot and King Cuerno at the end. Killshot wins. Then you branch off Killshot and Cuerno in a feud because their gimmicks would be awesome together and their matches would be incredible. Then the coup de grace later in the season, reveal Phoenix, because if you remember at the end of the last season, Pentagon had like a different master that wasn't Vampiro. So I reveal that Phoenix has always been Pentagon's master because they're brothers, leads to a heel turn for Phoenix and a feud with Killshot, and then you go Dante Fox helping Killshot, so it's Killshot and Dante Fox against Phoenix and Pentagon. They branch off into separate feuds, and then Killshot beats Pentagon for the title at Ultima Lucha.
I like it. I don't think any of that's going to happen, but you know what?
Me neither.
I like it. I like it.
I want it, though.
I didn't go nearly as much in detail. I said Son of Havoc, and I'd go the deeper eye route. I would just have him just fucking get jobbed out by just treated like shit, always fucking put down, put him up against the Matanzas.
That's kind of what he's been, actually.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and had that shot on the line.
Yep. And then he lost it to
fucking Dr. Wagner.
Yeah. Jr. Did you see Dr. Wagner now?
No.
He has turned into a supervillain. He's back under the mask, but he's got this giant fucking... He's a fucking handsome older man. Very handsome. Latino man.
Does he have a monocle?
He's got a huge fucking like gray beard, right, that comes out from underneath the mask. He cut out by the bottom of the mask part, and the mask and the beard comes out. And he's fucking wearing a chinchilla fucking head-to-toe fucking jacket. It is incredible. He's like...
He's a face in my book.
Dude, he looks like the Dos Equis guy.
Mm-hmm.
But a wrestler, and he's fucking awesome. And it's this is his new gimmick. I'm so fucking down for all this. He looks great. But yeah, I said Son of Havoc. D-Bry, just let him build through it. He overcomes every obstacle along the way. Finally gets it at the end and fucking wins against whoever is the champion at the time. I would try to get a guy like Mil Muertes as champion, though. Even if it's just to make it a transitional champion. So Mil Muertes is like somebody who's like a big force that would kind of make Son of Havoc the super underdog. So it'd have to be. Unless it's
Matanza.
The Slither Boys. Well, Matanza is also short.
Vibera,
yeah. Because I think he'll take on a bigger role this year. I'm just going by what I know in the fucking preview, okay? I don't know anything, but I saw that he was choking out a guy and it had me pumped for him. Slither Boys are back, y'all.
Choking out Johnny Mundo.
Oh, yes, that is true. That is true. I'm excited for the new character. I'm excited for everything. It's so much fun. I'm fun. It's so much fun. I'm having fun. What next?
It's on you.
Oh, that's right. That is on me. This is from Jimmy. Cut your dick.
Yeah.
I said like you. Do you like that? Cut your dick.
Cut your dick.
The subject is Patreon email. This is Mike Chiari now. What's up, Rusters? Fuck, Marry, Kill, Kiari edition. Only Mike has to do this, but that's stupid, so we're all going to do it. Jinder, yeah. Omega, Braun.
I wasn't prepared.
Oh, just, you're doing it on the fly like I am. So I do it every time. I'm fucking on the fly, Donnie. I bought you enough time. Jinder, Omega, Braun, Mike.
Fuck Braun, obs. Marry, Omega, kill Jinder.
I agree.
I'm marrying Omega. That's all I know.
And you're fucking, you're obs fucking Braun.
Yeah, oh my god. No, he's fucking me, dude.
Let's exactly.
Let's get that right. Wyatt, Omega, Braun.
Fuck Braun. Marry Bray, because he'll just cheat on me and then I can get half anyways. Kill Omega.
I'm going to marry Omega again. I'm going to fuck Bray. And I'm going to kill Braun.
Wow.
No, marry Omega. Fuck Braun. Kill Wyatt.
Braun, Wyatt, and Corbin.
Fuck Braun. Marry Bray. Kill Corbin.
You go first on it.
Marry Braun, because fucking Bray will cheat on me, so I'll just fuck him.
Yeah, that's good. And you get money.
No, that's, hey, listen, I don't care. Love hurts, dude. Love hurts. See, you don't know. You're just a child. You're just a child.
Okay.
PG?
Fuck Braun. Marry Braun. Fuck Wyatt. Kill Corbin. He seems like a dick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Braun, Jinder, and Wyatt.
Fuck Braun, marry Bray, kill Jinder.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the only option.
I don't think there's another way out of that one. These are going to be fun. Donald Wood, Braun, and Wyatt.
Fuck Braun, marry Bray, kill Donnie.
Agreed.
If Donnie agrees, I have to go that way.
Yep.
Jinder, Wyatt, and Donnie. This is a true test. It's, where am I on the Jinder scale?
Fuck Jinder, marry Bray, kill Donnie.
That's not fair, dude. That's not fair, dude. I'd be great for a one night stand. I'm very stable too for long term as well.
Do not want.
I got the hips for children as well.
That's true.
Donald Wood,
one of you.
Donald Wood, Jinder, and Braun.
Fuck Braun, marry Jinder, kill Donnie.
It's so lame. Terrible email. Terrible waste. This is a
that was a Patreon email. We had to read it.
Terrible waste of your money. I can't believe you did that. But thank you. Appreciate it. All right, go ahead.
This is from Chad Gable, Bruce Pritchard.
Okay.
Subject is WrestleMania 34.
Doesn't
prediction
feel like
results.
You're trying anymore.
It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringostrader. You can chill the email to your higher and guarantee someone. Email around the show.
It's all right. Close.
Hey, Rusters. Sorry for the late results. In all honesty, I completely forgot that I noted these down the episode after SummerSlam 2017.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Let's clean out some emails.
However, the half-year WrestleMania 34 prediction results are in. In summary, Mike and BG had one correct prediction with Shinsuke versus AJ Styles. Yeah!
Great. Cool. Great stuff.
Donnie had three correct predictions. Woo! With Cena versus Taker, Lesnar versus Reigns, and New Day versus Usos versus Wyatts. Yes, I am paying the Wyatts.
Okay, good. Because it was the Bludgeon Brothers. But let me say something to you. You kept questioning me on the Cena Taker and Lesnar vs. Reigns. That means I was at least on board with these matches with SummerSlam 2017. So I was on it way before. Don't even start with that Meltzy shit. I'm on top of that shit, dude. I saw the writing on the wall myself. I didn't need anybody.
We called the only good match.
Yeah, and I called the matches happen. That they built.
And I don't even give you the Wyatts one because it's not the Wyatts.
It was the Bludgeon Brothers.
No, because
right.
because at that time I'm pretty sure it was Bray and Luke.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
You paid it up, so I got three. You fucking piece of shit.
Which means Donnie has predicted the most matches for WrestleMania 34.
And you had the three worst fucking matches in the whole show. Fuck you.
Whatever. I got them right.
6 months prior to the event, proving that WWE's booking of the biggest show of the year is nothing short of a Nakamura dick kick. Some quick hits. Donnie also guessed half of the tag team matches. Owens versus Shane and Triple H versus Angle.
Okay.
Mike and BG had Enzo retain the Cruiserweight title. Yikes. To be fair, he would have, yeah. We didn't know he was going to not sexually assault someone. Mike and BG both booked significantly better cards than what we actually got.
Hey.
Donnie was the only one that predicted Rousey would have a match. Mike once again did not guess the tag team matches nor the winner, so it looks like the beers are on Mike Stradamus for WrestleMania 35. I'm all right with that. Don't worry, I'll give you one more chance to redeem your tag team prediction brilliance again after SummerSlam. You can see all the predictions attached if you want. Ring Rust!
Ring Rust.
Ring Rust.
Hugs and kisses, Chad the Gable versus Pritchard. Yay or nay on the nickname. I allowed it.
So it wasn't even yours? It sucks, wow. Dude. I'm gonna shoot, bro. It sucks.
Wow. Well, I like
let
it.
Me say something. That means if I won 2 years in a row, that means you need to do something since I won the bet. You need to buy a t-shirt. This goes out to Chad Pritchard. You fucking give us this game and we do it every year. I won 2 years in a row. I want you to buy a shirt. You pick it, but you have to, and send me the receipt. I fucking won. That's what I want. You need to buy a shirt for yourself.
Sounds like I won.
Technically, you didn't. No fucking way. You just told me I fucking won both of them, so fuck you.
Sounds like I won. Thank you for the reminder, Chad Gable. Bruce Pritchard.
Okay, go ahead. Next email.
The next email comes from Andrew. Big E Langman, subject, Takeover Brooklyn 4. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. Donate to email tier or higher. Guarantee you get at least one email right on the show each month. Ring Rust!
Ring Rust!
It's been a while since I've emailed the show. November, I think. You're welcome for all my Patreon money. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
I just picked up tickets.
Make it more.
Wow.
Fuck you.
That'd be great. I just picked up tickets for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn yesterday, and I can hardly keep it in my pants.
Just taking out play with it, dude.
Yep.
Get that shirt.
Get that shirt. Now it's your job. Now you have to get that shirt. Another one. You need to buy a shirt.
Do that to yourself. First question is, who wants to join me?
BG I'll be does. Honest. He's there.
I do want to go to NXT TakeOver. I don't really want to go to SummerSlam or WrestleMania next year.
Then don't. Go to Brook. No one's stopping you from only going to the shows you want to. What is your fucking...
You
don't
are.
Have to.
You stop me.
Go to
TakeOver time.
Brooklyn. It's like, dude, you fucking can fucking take the fucking train there. No problem.
It goes right there.
I cannot fucking believe you. You don't try at all to do these things. Go. For me, it's a lot more difficult. I gotta find the fucking time with the kid. You're literally a single man with money who can fucking go to these shows. Get off your fat ass.
Oh,
your broken
you know
ass neck
that.
And take your ass on that fucking train and you dance. Scuffle all the way up to fucking Brooklyn. I want you to tape it. I want you to tape it on your
tape
cell phone.
The journey.
Tape your journey because it's going to be like the WMAC Masters, which you're going to watch later on or next week or whenever we watch it. Go ahead.
That's awesome. All right. Make a RRR NYC meetup that weekend.
You can come to Philly. If you're going to be that close, come down to
Nobody
Philly.
Nobody wants to go to Philly.
We'll go to Lorraine's and we'll do a live show at Lorraine's. It's fine. We'll do that.
Please. Pretty please.
Okay.
Second question. Super early fantasy book. The TakeOver Brooklyn card for this summer, including what you think Trips will do and what you want him to do.
I don't think it's early at all, actually. I think it's fair enough to say we're pretty close to knowing some of the card. I was looking
like
at it.
Three
I could
months
see it.
Away.
Yeah.
Keep it sexy. And Ring Rust!
Ring Rust!
Andrew, Quincy, Jimmy Wang, Langman.
You couldn't do anything with Quincy.
He
didn't
did himself.
Put that in his email name.
You fucking unbelievable. You couldn't play off Quincy.
John right. Quincy Adams.
I haven't read NXT
President!
Spoilers. I haven't read NXT spoilers like Mike does.
That's true.
So my predictions may be off depending on what
I'm with you there, because Mike is a liar and a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
And, human.
All proven.
A cheetah.
Diet.
He's a cheetah.
Poop.
So mine could be way off depending on what the NXT Chicago card is, which I have no idea.
Well,
that's
kind
but
of what you're supposed to be going on. You're not supposed to be good with. Don't cheat. So
yeah,
I'm with
so
you. I also don't know.
Here's some matches that I would like to see.
There's only five, so you come up with five.
Yeah. So I have Pete Dunne versus Velveteen Dream for the UK Championship.
Stupid.
TM61 versus War Raiders.
Velveteen Dream
versus
Ricochet is almost a certainty for fucking Brooklyn.
I'm assuming it happens at Chicago. That's why, again, I don't know what happens at Chicago. So I'm saying,
what are you talking about?
I don't know why they would wait fucking 5 months.
Do you think Brooklyn is the next one?
Is there a real takeover?
Chicago, bro. Yeah.
When is, oh, that's
right before
Money
in the Bank.
It's like coming up soon.
Oh.
Good job.
All right. So I'm going to keep... I'm gonna let you apologize in your head for me about that one. So Pete Dunne versus Velveteen Dream, UK Championship.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. TM61 versus War Raiders versus Undisputed Era, Triple Threat for the Tag Team Championship. Ricochet versus Adam Cole for the North American title. The cage match, storyline built on Cole trying to stop Ricochet from using all of his aerial attacks. Fatal 4-Way, Nikki Cross, Bianca Belair, Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler, the women's title. And then the main event, no DQ match with NXT Championship, Ciampa versus Aleister Black. My assumption here in this card is that Gargano's not in NXT at the moment. So that's why it's just Ciampa against Black.
Okay, I'll let Mike Chiari go before I successfully predict TakeOver Chicago.
Yikes.
I swear to God, I just in my head was like, when they go ahead and done that? When they go ahead and announce that, huh? Has that been a thing for a while now? I legit just don't even know if I fucking have seen that yet. Am I supposed to know that?
Yeah.
Yes. You're 100% supposed to know.
I didn't know. I watch NXT every fucking week, the whole show from front to back, and I legit had no idea. Whatever.
I don't know if they've announced it on TV, but they have tickets available.
I'm not seeking out spoilers or anything from NXT, so I wouldn't have seen that unless I was.
It's not from spoilers. Like they announced it
They announced like tickets. Hey, come get tickets for the show.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Stunning to me. I just did not. Dude, I watch so much wrestling. It's some shit's gonna fall through the cracks. You just realize it.
I mean, they usually do a takeover between the WrestleMania.
I know. Let's go on. Because I already fucked up. Let's go on.
So I would do Ricochet versus Lars Sullivan. Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane for the Women's Championship. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong versus the War Raiders for the Tag Team Championships. Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. And then I agree with the main event, a no DQ match, Aleister Black against Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship.
79%.
So I'm gonna book Chicago real quick.
We'll see if you're right in a couple weeks.
Dream versus Ricochet.
Again?
No, it's only gonna happen once. It's gonna happen there.
He's booking Chicago.
Oh, you're booking Chicago?
Yeah, I'm booking Chicago.
That's not the thing.
Okay. So Dream versus Ricochet. Adam Cole versus Lars Sullivan. War Raiders versus who's UE?
Undisputed Era.
What? Why are you saying who's UE?
I only wrote UE. I didn't understand why. Because I don't ever write it like that. I don't know why I shorthanded that right there.
Yes, you do. You write incorrectly all the time.
But I don't write. I write Undisputed Era.
But
I never
incorrectly for
that.
You to read, not for him to read.
Yeah, that's duh. True. Baszler versus Nikki Cross and Black versus Gargano versus Ciampa.
I really do hope that happens.
Yeah, that'd be all fun. So there you go. You got more than you bargained for, Lagman.
Way less.
From Hillbilly Jim Chappelle, the Dave. Subject is Patreon peeves. Yeah, I got a few. Like when we got to read the fucking Patreon every win or whatever. Fuck you. Dear Ring Rusturbaiters. That's Mike. I'm cashing in my Patreon email. Oh my God, he's cashing in, Michael. And I want to know, what are your wrestling peeves? It could be something that a particular wrestler does or doesn't do, or just something in general that you don't like happening. I don't know why I started to like what happened.
What's happening, Hustle?
My biggest issue would be people no-selling. We definitely yelled about this earlier. When someone does sell an injury, everyone takes notice, even though this is... We're at the end of the show. I'm done. I've got nothing left.
No, you never can read.
I can read in my head. Listen.
It's all that matters.
See? Not one problem, not one fucking issue that whole time. Something that everyone should always be doing. Keep up the great work, and as always, Ring Rust!
Ring Rust!
Lee the Dave Chappelle. Giving himself the right nickname, appreciate that. Stand strong, brother. Go ahead. My pet peeve? Is people who don't have their shit ready. Mike Chiari, I wrote 3 times. And people who don't know stuff about a certain company yet spout off at the mouth for no good reason.
So you. Got it. I don't like rope breaks and no DQ matches. I don't like fucking rules, dude!
Mm-hmm.
I don't like tags in cage or hardcore matches. I don't like constant kicking out of finishers. I don't like ignoring selling in favor of doing a bunch of high spots that don't really make sense within the fabric of a match.
Yeah. It sounds like when you see Meet the Press and there's always the fat dude on Meet the Press, like, I don't like the current state of our economy due to the following reasons. He's such a fucking jaded piece of shit right now.
I don't like when they randomly use instant replay for certain controversial decisions and then they don't use it for others. And I don't like getting 1,000 matches between 2 wrestlers instead of just building a proper feud, like we talked about before.
Okay, so you're just nitpicking.
And there's more. That's not nitpicking. Those
you're
are
just nitpicking. Next, you're going to ask for character development and proper storytelling. Wow. Fancy asshole. BG?
From a wrestler perspective, still getting distracted by someone's music for several minutes. Like, this still bothers me. I don't
like
get it.
Like, they're a dog. The dog and the dog here. Huh?
Right. So dumb. And then from a product perspective, commercials 2 minutes into matches. Commercials between matches in general, like in between matches, pisses me off.
I think like, I'm gonna add one. I don't this
tiny
is,
boxes no, with matches in them.
That's definitely one, but I'm gonna add one. I'm gonna add like when two guys who are you've been teasing for finally coming to blows for months finally come to blows, and then you cut the commercial.
That's
and
the
when
only
they
way
come back,
really,
the
that's coming my
to, the coming to blows is over,
that was
and
amazing.
They do not replay it. It's almost like they shouldn't have done that in retrospect.
Or when somebody has to win us by submission in order to stay alive in a tournament-type format, and they win
know.
By pin.
Kennedy didn't know.
Oh.
He didn't know. The math in his head.
All right. Okay. Is that it for the emails?
That's it.
Thank you, Hillbilly Jim Chappelle. What does that mean? Guys, I am so tired, I can't even talk right now. I am your host the most, though, at Donald_Wood on Twitter. Find me on Bleach Report. Find me on Travel Pulse. Mike Chiari, you're not first. BG, boom.
Follow me on Twitter, BGNY3. And you can follow us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio.
Yeah, we support one form of social media here. One we can follow.
One love.
Twitter. We say Facebook. I'll mention the Facebook group real quick, though. If you are on Facebook, get off of it. But if you're on Facebook and you're determined to stay, then go over to the group and enjoy. It's a lot of fun.
It's an active group.
It is an active group. That's good. I want people to feel like part of a family. And that's what family can definitely be fucking yelling at you all the time. So that's definitely what's going on over there. Mike Chiari, you're the other guy?
I am at Mike Chiari, Chiari, on Twitter. And you can read all of my articles at BleachReport.com.
You've become unbearable on Twitter.
Why would I do?
Because you just think your shit don't stink when it comes to your comments.
Whatever did I do?
You're like, oh my god. You're just like, you're becoming Dave Meltzer. You're like, my opinions are so fucking righteous, dude.
Don't you ever fucking say that.
Most insulting thing.
You are. You're like, you literally tweeted during Monday. You said, do you know how important I am? Somebody like commented to you when I was like,
Saturday.
Did you really say that?
He did.
I certainly did.
Fucking yelled at somebody.
Terrible.
He's like,
I know.
He said, he kept saying, do you know who
I
am?
I'm very unimportant.
I need to reiterate to you how unimportant sometimes. You know what I mean?
No, you don't.
You're not good at your job here. So, welcome to the club, first off, because I'm also bad. And BG. Guys, find us, ringrustradio.com. That is our website. You know who's bad at designing that? Me. But that's okay. It's still there. I own it still, huh? I own it still. Ring Rust, I don't even know if I own it still. They legitimately said just wait until it expires and then renew it. I was like, that seems dangerous. That's a good idea. I'll tell him it's a t-shirt. Psych, it's a domain name, you asshole. Ring Rust Radio on YouTube. Every one of our interviews is up there. Facebook us, guys. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Find us anywhere that you can find podcasts we are at. Interact with us on Twitter. Is that wrong? I'm fucking so tired. At RingRustRadio, email is RingRustRadio.com. Nope, RingRustRadio@yahoo.com. I'm falling apart. Mike Chiari.
ProWrestlingTees.com/RingRustRadio. As bad as the design of RingRustRadio.com is, that's how good the designs of our t-shirts are at ProWrestlingTees.com/RingRustRadio. Get all the hits, take it out and play with it, and then cut your dick!
Nope.
Yep.
Fucking nope. It's all fucking no. No. BG. No. To you. Nope.
Patreon.com/RingRustRadio. There's only one thing to know, Donnie. Monday, May 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern, the all-time fantasy draft is happening. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be intense. Mike's creating that big board for us right now
Let me say something. Please explain. I am a novice here. Well, I don't understand what this all-time draft means. What is this?
we are going to draft wrestlers from the history of professional wrestling. And then we're going to create a super card of those wrestlers.
Every wrestler who's ever wrestled ever.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you're going to have a very interesting team.
I'm pumped.
You should be pumped. Everyone should be pumped. Everyone should join. We want as many people as possible. It's going to be amazing. These are some of the most competitive and fun things that we do at Ring Rust Radio. We're going to put those supercars that everyone creates on patreon.com/ringrustradio. All the supporters can vote on there. And listen, you can vote for yourself if you're a member of our Patreon community, which you will be if you sign up.
You'll have the chance to vote for yourself. You feel like God. You're playing God in that moment.
And it just takes $1 to sign up to vote, and so you just tell all your friends, like, hey, just $1, man, sign up for me, I need to win this. What are you going to win? You win, Mike.
You can have them. Please, take them.
You can have me. Yeah, please.
Jesus Christ. All right, what song should we go out on? Don't jump so fast. Oh, I know what we're doing. We're doing the Curtis Axel song. All right, everybody, listen.
Nice, that's
God
a good
bless
one.
America. We love each and every one of you. Please come back next week because there's going to be even more stupid than. Enjoy.
My name is
Curtis Axel.
My name is
Curtis Axel.
Ahem.
My name is. My name is
Curtis.
Can I have the attention of the WWE Universe for 1 second?
My name is
Curtis Axel!
Hi kids, do you like Curtis? Wanna see Paul Heyman turn Michael McGillicuddy into a legend? Wanna bury me exactly like Triple H did? Grow a beard and come out to Perfect Remix? Thought he was dead weight, now they're saying he'll be great. Trying to make me believe that RVD was just late. Dr. MC said,
Curtis Axel, here's your big break. Sucked in NXT, your big chance, don't waste it.
Triple H and The Rock, everyone on your side, hoping for anyone but you when the music played. Fans pissed off, saying they feel ripped off. Triple H smacking so hard, they say he'd be back on Superstars. Cut a one-word promo, got knocked on my ass. Now his star's rising so fast. Perfect son. Axel, wait a minute. That's not Kurt Hawkins. He don't give a fuck. Paul's got him ready to take the world on.
My name is